The man in charge of President Obama's energy policy won a Nobel Prize for physics. Now, Energy Secretary Stephen Chu has dedicated himself to fighting global warming by transforming where we get our energy. Steve Inskeep sat down for a conversation about that.
Secretary Chu is supporting cleaner energy sources like wind or solar panels, even though these alternatives have drawbacks. He supports clean coal technology, despite skepticism about whether it would work. He supports nuclear power plants, even though there's a lot of political resistance.
If you look at the difference between a coal plant down the river from you and a nuclear power plant, me personally, I'd be rather be living near a nuclear power plant. There's less pollution we know about that's very dangerous. The nuclear power plants record in the United States is really very, very good.
So when we're looking for where to locate the next power plant, just look for your home. It's okay. Stephen Chu is part of a political fight that hits close to home. Congress is considering a measure on climate change. It's meant to sharply limit pollution from carbon. Critics fear that would shut down American industry or radically raise home electric bills, or worse. Stephen Chu, though, is depending on technology to help us use energy more cleanly and efficiently.
Scientists, by their nature, are very optimistic. It's very simple why. You know, we go to school, we learn about Newton, we learn about Maxwell, we learn about Einstein. And yet you want to do some science that can contribute on the shoulders of those giants. You've got to be pretty optimistic.
It sometimes is implied in discussions about this that if we just use brilliant technology in the right way, we can get all the energy we need, fix this global warming problem, and nobody really has to change their lives. We can continue living as we do. Do you believe we can do that?
No, I think we have to do a lot of things. But I don't think we have to, let's face it, in the United States, energy is a large part of the prosperity we enjoy. It turns out that the average amount of energy used, if you put it in human terms, how much energy does a human being need to be healthy and to do a non-stay's work? Well, it's about 2,500 calories. If you use that as the amount of energy, then every man, woman, child in the United States has 100 energy servants.
100 energy
servants.
In
the sense that every person in the United States uses an energy equivalent as though they had 100 personal servants at their beck and call.
Running around
doing things like cleaning carpets with vacuum cleaners, taking them to the grocery market, or on school buses.
Carrying them around in lieu of a car or whatever, yes.
Okay. Well, that's right, because before the Industrial Revolution, energy power came from humans and animals.
100 servants, in effect. Do we have to cut that down to 50, 40, 10, 2?
It really depends on how we can access clean energy. For example, if you consider the solar energy hitting the world that creates the wind, that creates the waves, that heats up the deserts, that solar energy is incredible. The point here is that a very small fraction of the world energy needs are supplied by the sun on a daily basis. If one can figure out how to capture that energy, then you don't have to go on a strict energy diet, because if it's truly clean, it's okay. But, you know, I don't want to tell the American people that now's the time to save energy, turn off your thermostat, you know, sleep in a sleeping bag. You know, you hear these anecdotal stories of in the first of the oil shocks when people started doing this and the goldfish froze.
You can't put a sweater on the goldfish very easily, can you?
My point is we can get a lot of the way there by developing technologies. But I think your point is, and also I agree with this, is that if you look at some of the things we do, a lot of things are totally wasteful. Leaving your computer on, okay? Turn it off. Put it in the sleep mode. Most Americans actually probably don't know how to turn their desktop computer into a sleep mode.
But I guess this is actually the question that's on my mind, and it becomes a politically difficult question, maybe a politically explosive question. People want to know, in your vision of the future, a future that is sustainable, that makes sense, whether there's going to be relatively invisible changes like the ones you're talking about with technological change or simple efficiencies, or whether you will be asking to require people to pay a whole lot more for energy, radically reorder their lives, live in a different place, do lots of things very differently than they do today.
You know, I personally don't think that's necessary in many respects. One of the fears that people have in a comprehensive energy and climate change bill is that the price of energy will increase. But in the same time, since we waste so much energy, the goal the Department of Energy has is to help the American public simply reduce its energy bill. I use as an example the state of California. In the first of the oil shocks, they got very serious about energy. They passed a number of things that had to do with appliance efficiency standards, a whole host of things. And from the mid-70s till today, the use of electricity per person in California has remained constant. The rest of the United States, average in the United States, went up by 50%, and California was below the average increase cost in the United States. Why? Because the consumption remained flat. We can do much better than even what California has done today. We can actually not level out the consumption of energy, particularly electricity, but we can actually decrease it in a way that doesn't call for the freezing of the goldfish.
You can do the same thing with a small fraction of the
energy. You can do the same thing with half the energy you use. I mean, that's pretty conservative.
Secretary Chu, you mentioned that as a scientist, you're an optimist. For a number of months now, you've been in Washington in a political job. What's that done to your optimism?
It's still there, actually. Now, the good news is I think many, if not most of the people in Washington, still treat me as a scientist. They know when they talk to me, they're going to get what I believe is the unvarnished truth about what science says about something. And so my optimism is still there.
Science in this area, of course, is about what makes sense, what's efficient. Politics, I don't want to automatically degrade that. It seems to be about human nature. People tell you about their fears and their desires and their concerns. Have you learned in your engagement in politics things that forced you to modify your thinking about what's possible or what's wise to attempt?
Actually, no. I think what I've been heartened to see in many instances, if there's a disagreement, I try to unpackage what exactly do we disagree on? Are we disagreeing on data? Once you start to unpackage these things, a lot of this can go away. It is going to take time for the United States to change. And we have to set a course that isn't totally disruptive to energy-intensive industries. But saying all that it will take time, you still have to start now. And there is a sense of urgency because it will take so much time.
Secretary Chu, thanks for coming by.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
That's Secretary of Energy Stephen Chu with Steve Inskeep. If you want to hear about his plans for clean coal and nuclear power, go to npr.org.